Before we open God's word together, let us pray. Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we do come before thee again in this afternoon hour, round about thy precious and living word. It is our great joy and privilege to be able to gather together, to open thy word, to hear from thee thy instruction. And we thank thee, Lord, for the beauty of the time that we have had even in this morning. And we look forward again to thy word, and we pray that thy spirit would be with us to instruct us and guide us in the way that would be pleasing unto thee, that would draw us closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that those who are yet outside thy fold would hear the message of thy love and thy truth, and would be drawn unto thee, our loving Lord and Creator. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I desire that we would turn and read together from the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 47. I'd like to read the first 12 verses with God's help. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me out about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of a great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof, shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow. The scripture that we have read together from this Old Testament passage describes a stream of water. And you may be wondering and may want to know, what is this stream that is spoken of here? I would like to know that answer to that question. I have never once seen a river start from a trickle and then get wider and deeper as it goes. I have never once seen a stream in this world where everything that it touches brings life and fruitfulness and abundance. Some things that are written here don't make sense when I think of the rivers that I've seen. And so I would really like to know, what is this stream? And what is it about this water that the Lord felt it was necessary to bring this messenger, this angel perhaps, with a measuring line to Ezekiel, to take him to the source of the water and to take him through the water to experience this and see this and then declare it and make it known to his people and then preserve it for us today? Could I be a part of this stream like Ezekiel was? Can I enter in to a stream that brings life and water that brings healing? Just from the 12 verses that we've read, it doesn't give much explanation. And Ezekiel isn't a book that we read very frequently. But it has been a book of personal study for the last week or two for myself, and truly have seen the blessing of the Word of God, its eternal truth. And when we apply ourselves to reading, to taking in what God has left for us, he is able to teach us. He is able to change us when we come to the Word. And this book of Ezekiel is no exception. Ezekiel was a prophet that was part of the... He was living in Assyria in the time when the northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by Assyria, and they were scattered across all of the various countries of the world. And Ezekiel was part of that captivity. And shortly after that, Judah, the southern kingdom, where Jerusalem was, where the temple was, they would be conquered by Babylon. And so in the years leading up to that, the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel for maybe the first 30, 35 chapters. And he's speaking and he's declaring what is going on in Judah. all the sin that they had adopted, the idolatry that they were practicing. He showed him that God saw everything that they were doing. They were not hiding anything. And he used some very vivid visuals and even actions that Ezekiel was taking part in to capture the people's attention, to get them to wake up and to hear the message. You might see in a grocery store the bread, Ezekiel bread. It is filled with all kinds of different wheats and grains. But when you read how it was cooked and how it was a foreshadowing of the suffering that Judah was going to suffer as they were conquered, you would not want to eat that bread. He had to cook it in dung. I don't think that's part of the recipe that they have in the stores. The meaning behind what Ezekiel was bringing was a sobering and serious message. And it touched his life in ways that maybe he didn't expect. He was supposed to tell the people how they would be conquered and they wouldn't have time to weep. And at the time that Ezekiel received that instruction, his wife dies. And God told him, don't weep. Teach the people, but don't weep. Your wife has just died, and the people will ask, why are you doing this? What does this mean? How can this make sense? It has caught their attention, and it was supposed to strike them with the reality of what was going on in their hearts, in their homes. And after going through that, we can see if you would read it, I'm confident that you will find the fear of the Lord. He knows all. And it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Ezekiel lived through the time when his prophecies that the Lord had given him came to pass. And he received messengers that said Judah was taken. And everything was destroyed. And the people were scattered. And that is a lot of what Ezekiel has to tell. But he also, in about the last 10 or so chapters, he begins speaking about what God is going to do. It had been the deeds and the character and the life of Israel and Judah that had brought about the consequences of their takeover and their sufferings. And it had been generation after generation of sin and turning to idolatry, of hardening of hearts. But God was going to do something. He was going to bring a cleansing. And he was going to impart his Holy Spirit to his people, so that they would not turn away again. And it is beautiful to see how this prophet, as he is inspired by the Spirit, foreshadows what Jesus would teach. Some of the things he says almost remind you of the parables that Jesus taught, or even the book of Revelation. And things are quoted in Paul's letters that come from this book. And just like all of the prophecies he said about Judah falling came to pass, we believe that as Ezekiel proclaims what would come in the new covenant and also in its fulfillment in the judgment final judgment and restoration of Israel, that will also come to pass. And so this chapter that we've read is part of that those groups of chapters where God is explaining this new temple, this new order of the city of Jerusalem, the way that things would be partitioned and separated, the way that the priests would serve. And here we get this detailed description of this river that physically doesn't exist in Jerusalem. This is part of the blessing of God. And the book ends pretty suddenly. Just turn maybe a page or two to the last verse, where everything about the beauty of this new city and this temple that's described, all of the detail and the order that God is instituting in this, it's summed up in this one beautiful verse. The very last verse of the chapter, of the book. It was round about 18 measures, something that he's measuring. And the name of the city from that day shall be, "The Lord is there." The Lord is there. That is what makes this stream and this water and the promises of eternity something that we also desire to understand and to be a part of. Because the Lord is there. Where the Lord is, even as it was brought out this morning, what Jesus has said he has come to do, just like this water, he came to bring forth life and to bring it forth abundantly. It's a thing of beauty. It's something that's growing. And as we see the light in this world so dim, the darkness growing, the evil, the pain, the futility, that things have no purpose or meaning, I hope that the idea conveyed by the stream, the water and its healing, the water and the abundance that it brings, would be something that we also say, I want to understand that. I want to know what God means by this. I want to partake in this, even as Ezekiel did in walking through. I want this as part of my life. Because we can clearly see that in this world, they have no place for the Lord. And they're looking for life. They're looking for something to satisfy. But they will never find what they're looking for. Because it can only be found in the Lord. Where the Lord is there, there's peace. Where the Lord is, there's growth. Where the Lord is, there's blessing. And so, that should be the desire for my heart, for my life, for my home, for my interactions, for the things that I allow myself to partake in. Is the Lord there? Is this a direction that's going to lead towards life? Is this where we will thrive? There's great blessing. There's great stability in those that would partake of this water and be a part of this new blessing that God is bringing upon the earth. And the man that's with Ezekiel said, "Son of man, hast thou seen this?" Ezekiel, have you taken time to consider what you're seeing? And are you learning something about God's blessing and his presence? Do you understand what this stream is made of? Do you know this water? This water, it's coming from under the threshold of the temple, under the door. It's coming from a place that is holy. And it's starting out like a trickle. Small stream. It's going eastward into the desert, a place where you wouldn't expect to find life. And there's a man that's with him. He has a line in his hand, and he went eastward and measured 1,000 cubits. Just over 1/3 of a mile. And the waters were up to his ankles. He goes 1/3 of a mile. The waters were up to his knees. And his water's getting deeper. It's getting wider. It's starting to flow. It's continuing to flow. It's moving. And after about 1 mile of traveling, it's so wide that he cannot pass over it. It's so deep that he cannot reach his feet to the bottom. It's only waters to swim in. You can't touch the bottom to walk. What could this be? The man brings him to the brink of the river. He starts looking around. And the first thing he notices are trees on one side and on the other. And their destination was the desert, but something has happened. Something has changed. This water has done something to the landscape. It's brought healing. It's brought abundance. It's brought fruitfulness. It says, "Everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the water shall come, shall live. And there shall be very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh." Where the river is, there's life. Where the Lord is present, he brings life. And brings it more abundantly. We can think about what Jesus has said to the woman at the well in Samaria in John chapter 4. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," the water from the well he's speaking of, "shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." A water that's within. A water that's coming forth. Water that's moving and active and bringing fruit. Could it be the words of Jesus Christ and his teaching? Could it be the way that he has proclaimed that we can partake of by faith that brings forth this abundance? that is what we're speaking of? Later on in John chapter 7, Jesus is in the temple, and on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." These waters are certainly something we should partake of. They are the promise of God, and there's many facets. There's the truth of God's ways. There's his teachings. There's the Holy Spirit, who we learn to grow in obedience to as God's children. And there is sanctification, where the Lord washes us by the water of the Word. And that sanctification is something that should grow in our lives. We begin with small understanding and then learn the great debt that we owe and the amount of change and progress that is needed in order to remain faithful to him. And as we yield to that and as we surrender to that, the Lord grants his blessing. The Lord provides, and it grows. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. Same thing with the message of the gospel. It started with Jesus proclaiming the message of the kingdom. He passed it on to his disciples to proclaim the word in Jerusalem and in Samaria, and then to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, to spread the news abroad. And he sent them like fishers for men. Is that what these fish are? That are to be fished out, to be pursued, to be an occupation for mankind, to be workers in God's kingdom, to bring forth useful food, or to be like the trees, to bring forth fruit, to bring forth leaves of healing and medicine and help. Many different things can fit the picture that is given, but none of them are without the presence of the Lord. Just like we heard this morning, we can get very particular or focused on one particular aspect, but it is for the Lord's glory. He is the one that is to be the focus and where the importance and the value is found. And again, in the Gospel of John, we read of Jesus' life and of his crucifixion. And after he had died, the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first, of the one that was crucified next to him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. This water has an influence and an impact. It makes a difference. It makes a change. It transforms things that were dead to things that are alive. There's great blessing, and that's a miracle of God, that he can do that. And it's a miracle that by God's word and faith in his word, we can also partake in his life-giving word. We can also have a purposeful and fruitful life in God's service because the Lord is with us. And that is our hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is what brings the beauty. That's what brings the appeal. That's what makes this so unique and so different from everything that we can see and know. Because Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And these waters, they're available. They're available to everyone who thirsts. But there is one verse here that is quite intriguing. With such an expansive and expanding river, one that is so potent and powerful, one that whose strength abides in these trees as they give the fruit in their season. There is one place, though, that's mentioned where this water doesn't take effect. It says, but in the miry places thereof, and in the marshes thereof, shall not be healed, they shall be given to salt. There are places where though this water is expanding in its reach and it is powerful and potent, but those who do not thirst, those who have no thirst, the marsh is a sedentary place. The water is still. The river is the place where the water is flowing and things are moving. And there's a free course. But in hearts that are hardened, in hearts that resist the word, in hearts that don't want to be influenced by the life-giving water, they remain a marsh. They remain a salty place. They remain a place where there's no life. And that's a warning. It's something to sorrow over. Because we can see in this world, we can see that there's miry places. We think about our country. We think about what is going on in our culture. How the Lord is rejected. And we know what is going to come. We know what the consequences of that are. We don't want a part of that. That's a miry place. This is marshy values. These are stagnant waters. Even as was mentioned this morning, like a pond that's polluted and full of refuge, full of vomit. That's what this world is. Because it refuses the cleansing, the exposure, the healing waters of God's word to come in. And we're sorry to see it. We're sorry to see that is the reality of the world that we live in. But it is a choice for every single one. Take the time. Do you see that God's blessing and his provision is found in God's word? And he wants you to take part, to step in, to participate, to be part of this story. But there are other streams. There are other streams. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus speaks about the stream. A stream that is coming to try every single man. But if we are not in the stream of the presence of God, under the direction of his Holy Spirit, and building upon the commandments of Jesus Christ through our obedience, as Jesus has said, there will come a stream of judgment that we will succumb to. The one man built his house upon the rock, the other upon the sand. The one chose to hear the words of Jesus Christ and to obey, and the one heard the words and said, maybe later or not at all. And the one that said not at all, he succumbed to the stream that was the alternative. In Revelation, we read of a prophecy of the serpent that lets out a flood of water out of its mouth. There are alternate streams. There are alternate things that seek to influence and to affect our lives. But God's is one that starts from a place of holiness. He intends for us to grow in it, and you see the blessing and the fruitfulness. This is what he has in mind for you and I as God's children. If we are not in this stream, we will succumb to the others. And isn't it just interesting that the recent way that you can get content on your computers, on your phones, it's called streaming. Yes, there are other streams. There are other streams of influence and persuasion that are seeking to mold your mind and mine, that are seeking to look for our obedience, that are seeking to distract us from our Lord and focus us upon the things of this world. Will we compromise? Will we succumb? Our only hope is to run to the refuge of our soul and be in the presence of our Lord, to trust in his word, for the storm is coming. And perhaps now is a good time to pause and reflect upon the ways that this stream can have access to our lives and how we open the doors of our heart and how we give and make time for the Lord to be present with him, to receive from him his blessing. To give the Lord time to speak to us, instruct us, how we are to understand this stream, how we are to thirst for this water, and by his Spirit, make the changes, follow in obedience how he would instruct us, that his word would not return to him void, but would accomplish that which he has sent it forth to do. Amen.
It's an honor to receive an invitation to some special event. We take that with honor and we're thankful to be invited. And that's what the Lord is doing this afternoon. And as he spoke here through this word in Ezekiel, he says over and over, as these waters were getting deeper, he's saying that he would bring us through these waters, that we would pass with him, and that we would experience this as we would go into these waters, and they were getting deeper, and that we might know of his love more and more, and that we might know the fullness and the life-giving water that is given through Jesus Christ. And so that invitation is being given to us, that we would be partakers of this living water, that we'd be partakers of this honorable gift of life that the Lord wants to give unto us. And so he says here in Revelation, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is the invitation to be partakers of this life-giving waters. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We've been given an invitation to be partakers of the water of life freely. An honorable invitation has been given unto us. The Lord has all things prepared. He's calling us to deeper and deeper waters of life in Him, that we would lean into that, that we would not fear to go into these waters of life that He has given unto us and that He's calling us to, but that we would go with a heart of faith and trusting in Him, knowing that the waters that the Lord gives are life and that eternally. So may He bless His word upon our hearts in this day. Amen.